Coming up on podcast 1137, Stellantis bets 30 billion euros on its EV future. I've got the good, the bad, and the very ugly. Podcast today, we'll talk about their battery plans, the models that are going to go electric, when they'll do it, the first all EV plant they've got, and their new green slogans for each of their car brands, which is the ugly part of today's podcast. Really awful. Someone let the marketing department loose and nobody checked it before today's PowerPoint presentation. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Thursday, 8th of July. My name is Martin Lee. I go through every EV story so you don't have to. And today it's all about one car company, but many, many car brands. And that is Stellantis, just held their EV Day 2021. So what do they own? Arbath, which is basically just Fiat 500s going quicker at this stage. There's nothing really else they do. Alfa Romeo, Chrysler, Citroën, Dodge, DS Automobiles, Fiat, Fiat Professional, Jeep, Lancia, Maserati, Opel / Vauxhall, Peugeot, and Ram. They also own things like Free to Move, which they call a mobility tech company. In other words, like car sharing, like sharing electric cars using an app and stuff in big cities, and Leasis, a fleet of 350,000 vehicles offering mobility solutions, they say. That sounds wonderfully vague. So they are an enormous company, and of course they came together from Group PSA and Fiat Chrysler to make the world's fourth biggest automaker. And they said today that they will invest more than 30 billion euros, that's 35.5 billion US dollars equivalent, between now and 2025 on electrifying, I hate that word, electrifying, because it means anything, their vehicle lineup. The company, which was only formed in January, out of the American automaker Fiat Chrysler and France's PSA, or Group PSA, said its strategy will be supported by five battery plants in Europe and North America as it gears up to compete with other EV makers. According to the Reuters article that covered this story off, Stellantis are targeting 70% of sales in Europe and over 40% of sales in the US to be low emission. That could be a battery car, but it could also be a hybrid car, couldn't it? Low emission means, well, just anything that's got some battery on it. So that's a pretty terrible way to get off the ground with this in terms of just not being clear on pure battery electric cars. But they do want 70% Europe, 40% of their business in the US to be electrified somehow by 2030, 9 years away. Some would say not very ambitious, others would say an enormous company. It's like turning around the proverbial oil tanker. It aims to make the total cost of owning an EV equal to that of a petrol version by 2026 in 5 years' time. And again, I mean, you make your mind up whether you think that's ambitious or not. Audi said last week, or maybe earlier this week, I forget, it was the CEO of Audi saying they're 2 to 3 years away from price parity at the point of sale. Equally, look, this is Stellantis saying, you know, in 5 years' time, we're going to get to price parity. There's been some lease deals on the little Peugeot E208 and the Corsas as well, Vauxhall Corsa, that on a monthly lease have been exactly the same as the combustion version. How is that not price parity? That's now. Those were a few months ago we had them, at least in the UK. So there's something going on here. We're going to dig into it and find out what it's all about. Stellantis talking batteries. 130 gigawatt hours of battery capacity by the middle of the decade and 260 gigawatt hours, neatly doubled, by the end of the decade at 2030, saying they've signed agreements with two lithium geothermal brine process partners in North America and Europe to get lithium. Pop a link to Reuters in the show note to get an overview of this story. Let's get a little bit deeper then on the battery stuff, where they have two gigafactory projects at the minute, one in France, one in Germany. And a lot of the electric stuff was inherited, by the way, in terms of Stellantis, from the Peugeot Citroën bit, the half of the company, when those two merged. I've been through two mergers. Well, no, one merger and one buyout. But in one case, it was a merger, but I worked for the bit of the company that was sort of doing the takeover. And then the other merger I went through, we were the smaller company, but they were buying us for tech. So, you know, and that was a very old company that bought us. But Then everyone sort of in the new company, I was promoted because, yeah, anyway. But what I'm trying to say is these things are never smooth, right? So they're going to have competing divisions within the company, competing brands, competing managers fighting for attention, and a merger to be unveiling their plan 6 months in. Well, they had to do it really, but there's going to be so many internal tensions in when you bring two companies the size of this together. It takes years to do a proper integration. So culturally, I wonder what's happening here. But anyway, a lot of the electric stuff came from the Group PSA side. So Fiat Chrysler, a bit behind, had made some steps recently. But the current electric cell stuff they've got with a joint venture with Total called Automotive Cells Company, ACC. Carlos Tavares is the new CEO of the company, and said they're going to build a gigafactory in Italy at their current engine factory and one in the USA to build cells. Stellantis said it has plans to have two battery chemistries, which is very kind of VW the way they've talked about this. So a high energy density option for their high performance cars and a nickel and cobalt free alternative, in other words, LFP, which is lithium iron phosphate, which is what they're saying without saying it. But also they talk about solid-state battery technology in 2026. As part of their strategy, says S&P Global, Stellantis is aiming to reduce battery costs using local expertise and manufacturing synergies, targeting battery pack cost reductions of over 40% from now to 2024 and another 20% by 2030. And it's really hard projecting out. I know you've got to, but it's so hard projecting out to 2030 in an EV world that, let's face it, look what's happened in the last year of EV world. And things are moving so quickly with electric vehicles. To try and look at 9 years ahead is really hard. Well, by the middle of the decade, that's easier to look to 2025. Carlos Tavares said the goal will be to have 55 plug-based vehicles. That rolls off the tongue. But that's good. At least it's like an XEV, something with a plug socket on. But of course, we're talking global showrooms here. And that is 40 battery electric vehicles by 2025, which is, that's no small undertaking, and 15 plug-in hybrids. According to Forbes, the PSA side of Stellantis, drawing on experience from its core brands Citroën, Opel and Peugeot, is further ahead when it comes to electrification. You can't deny that. In the US, the former Fiat Chrysler brands were trailing the competition, offering no all-electric models and just two plug-ins at the moment, the Chrysler Pacifica hybrid minivan and the new Jeep Wrangler 4xe. The response to the 4xe has taken company officials by surprise. They put it on sale, and 20% of those sales are people who want the plug-in version. What a surprise. You and I are never surprised because we hear this over and over again. Like, car companies put something on sale, whether it's a plug-in hybrid or a full EV, and then they'll either sell out or they'll say, oh, we were taken by surprise. We couldn't believe it. People want to buy these things. Yeah, how strange. They must be mad. I like, what planet are you living on? Put these cars on sale. They will sell. Everybody wants to buy these cars at the moment. And the handful of laggards that want to hang on to diesel, it's fine. Let them crack on. It's no problem to me. All right, stick around. Coming up, we'll talk about these terrible new taglines each of the brands have got and where the batteries are going to come from. Stick around, I've got the details coming up. Let's talk about affordable cars. And, I love the Push EVs blog. I love reading that. It's a news site, but very, op-ed stuff with the writer, Pedro. And he always has a really interesting take. And he pointed out that the 2026 date in 5 years' time for affordable electric cars is embarrassing for this company. A three-hour video presentation, and we haven't talked about the presentation yet, but yes, it was hours and hours long. Each brand, well, not all the brands, but most of the brands were given their own time to present. It's a bit like a company-wide meeting where they sent around the PowerPoint template. I don't know if you've worked for huge companies, and I have, and it's when you do these massive all-hands things that last hours and every division has to present, and, it's a PowerPoint hell. And so they've sent round the PowerPoint template. Like, you've got to use this, got the logo on, and then you fill it in. So, like, you choose your own font, or go on then, or I like your colours, that's dead funky. It's like, oh, but when it's a... Just do it in an hour and make it look professional and make it all look lined up, but it was really a horrible, horrible presentation because everyone was, again, did their own thing. Anyway, so they're going to have four platforms. The point is that he makes. They're going to have four battery electric platforms for the Stellantis brands, according to the size of the car they're making. The STLA small, and of course they call it the STLA platform, but if you live in any kind of Tesla world, you'll know that people talk about Tesla as TSLA because it's the ticker for the stock market. So every time I see, they've actually called the platform the STLA platform, but STLA is just swapping around the first two letters and you get TSLA. And every time I've gone to write it in my notes, I've written Tesla. Anyway, I wonder, that says more about me than anything else. So the STLA small, which will do 300 miles, the STLA medium, 400 miles, the STLA large, 500, and the STLA frame, again, 500 miles for body-on-frame, you know, 4x4s, etc. Well, Stellantis says that Steltapack technology and cobalt-free batteries, so LFP, lithium iron phosphate, the two most important technologies available today to make small EVs more affordable. We've seen it in China over the last few years. This isn't new news to anybody, and we've seen that when it's done well, it will compete with combustion in price and availability. And of course, you add in running costs for an EV, which is so much cheaper, and it's a no-brainer. Stellantis, though, is introducing this five-year delay to say, well, we won't get there till the middle of the decade. So we won't have lithium iron phosphate cells, maybe they couldn't get them, or cell-to-pack technology. And in 2026, the total cost of ownership, that's not just price parity at the point of buying it in the showroom, that's total cost of ownership of their Stellantis EVs will match Stellantis combustion cars. That's crazy. That is 5 years away, and total cost of ownership is already lower for most people with an EV, depending on their mileage. Pedro says, with this decision, Stellantis leaves an open door for Chinese automakers to arrive and dominate the EV market very soon. And again, maybe that's a European perspective. We do have lots more smaller city cars than the US, but it's a really important market over here. And you know, they don't sell the VW ID3 in the US because it's just not going to be a car that is, I don't know why. They obviously, VW of America don't want that too small. I don't know, the US market, etc. But it hasn't got to be a damn truck to sell in America. Like, there are cities where people drive small EVs. But smaller EVs here in Europe, smaller roads, etc., etc., are really, really important. And Stellantis delaying that by 5 years, it does seem a little bit crazy. There's more going on here, and let me explain. By doing this, they set the expectations incredibly low. There is currently, over the next few weeks and months, a big debate with the European Union. So, you know, our EU-wide, not our anymore, we left, but at the EU-wide set of regulations for the next part of the decade. And we saw this recently with car makers doing their presentations, all lowballing, all saying, well, we hope to get the cost of battery packs below $100 per kilowatt hour one day. Like, well, it is now. Like, the LFP packs in China are coming out of BYD are $75 or $80 per kilowatt hour. Like, don't say, oh, by the middle of the decade, we'll try and drive the price down. It's below that now. So how much of this is purely political and aimed at policymakers? We're like, oh, you know, by the middle of the decade, we might get total cost of ownership equal to combustion. But for the next 5 years, keep handing out incentives and don't make us make EVs because, oh, the public are, you know, can't afford these cars yet. And I wonder, and I don't want to be too cynical, so I want to hear your feedback on this. But so much of this, it seems really odd to me. Anyway, let's continue. Stellantis in the US, their performance brand Dodge, plan to launch their first electric muscle car in 2024. Ram will sell an all-electric version of their 1500 in 2024. Jeep will offer plug-in hybrids in all SUV segments by 2024. The Wrangler 4xe already sold out for the rest of the year. Shock horror! The Jeep Wagoneer to be targeted as an all-electric premium SUV for the US market, says electrive.com. They point out that in addition to the gigafactories I've mentioned already by ACC, the cells will be sourced from external suppliers. They do have deals with CATL, BYD, S-Volt, Samsung, and LG. And hopefully they want to source them from European plants owned by those companies. The 50 gigawatt hours for the USA will be procured from partners while names are not yet mentioned. Final negotiations are ongoing. In 2030, says Electrive, the demand will be 260 gigawatt hours I mentioned already, of which more than 170 gigawatt hours will be produced in Europe. Vauxhall / Opel, both very, very storied heritage brands. Opel and Vauxhall have been tied together for forever. Opel, German company. Vauxhall is what we call those cars. Same cars, but different badge in the UK. But a legacy name. The company, which is obviously owned by Stellantis now, is targeting low emission vehicles. And Opel will become an electric only brand in Europe by the end of 2028. So again, a seven-year transition they're doing here, but I get it. The firm will expand into the Chinese market as well, says Autocar. The German brand has confirmed it will revive the Manta name for a new EV. Opel has been showing a kind of resto mod version of the Manta, but it won't be this. It won't be the pictures that we've seen. It'll be more of a high riding SUV crossover thing, because everything is these days. As Fiat will become electric only in 2030. So again, Fiat has 9 years to go all electric. The exact date determined by the customers. The performance bit of that, Arbath, will be electric only. And they only make hot versions of the 500. So, and that's all electric anyway. So just, I don't know, put some flared wheel arches on it and a bigger motor. Stellantis has released statements for all of its 14 brands to reflect what they will stand for. And if you keep listening, we will get to those in a moment. Finally, on the bit of news I want to talk about, which is the first Pure EV plant. It's at Ellesmere Port in the UK, and they're going to make light commercial vehicles and passenger EVs. And the plant will be all EV, and they're going to make only electric vehicles, pure electric vehicles for Opel, Vauxhall, Citroën and Peugeot. They get new body shops, on-site battery pack assembly and new general assembly. According to Auto Week, when it comes to light commercial vehicles, the Ellesmere Port plant will produce battery electric versions of the Combo E and its passenger variant, the Citroën e-Berlingo and the passenger version, and the Peugeot e-Partner and its passenger version. I'll pop a link to that in the show notes. Right, here we go. Let's get on to the new brand taglines. The marketing department have been busy. In all of their advertising, I imagine, it'll be on the TV ads, it'll be said in occasionally a sexy accent by a husky voiceover person, so let's have a look at them, and I'll try and do them justice. Arbath is heating up people, but not the planet. Okay, so we're off to a rough start. Alfa Romeo simply becomes Alfa E Romeo. They just gave up on that one. Watch a new tagline. Oh, Alfa E Romeo. You've put an E in there? Yep. Okay, that's terrible. But Chrysler, clean technology for a new generation of families. All right, that's not totally terrible. It is clean technology, and they are a family brand, and so it's pretty basic. Next, Citroën is Citroën Electric, well-being for all. So now they're worried about our well-being, but that's okay. Dodge, tear up the streets, not the planet. It's gone very Alan Partridge with that one. Tear up the streets. If it was just like Dodge, tear up the streets. Like, that's cool. But why did the strapline have to be Dodge, tear up the streets, but not the planet? Awful. DS Automobiles, which is always a bit weird anyway, what those cars are. The art of travel magnified. Now, the first half of that's okay. The art of travel is not bad. It's kind of French and a bit weird and a bit, huh? But that's like DS is a bit, huh? But then the art of travel magnified. Like, what are they magnifying? The travel or the art or all of it? Or are the cars just going to be bigger? Next, Fiat. Okay, I'll do it justice. It's only green when it's green for all. Looking forward to those TV ads. Hey, the new Fiat 500. It's only green when it's green for all. Let's move on to Jeep. Zero emission freedom. Not bad. Lancia. The most elegant way to protect the planet. Look, this is the third one with planet. Give the eco stuff a rest. Maserati is the best in performance luxury. Electrified. I mean, no one's buying Maserati, doesn't matter. Opel and Vauxhall, green is the new cool. If you have to say we're cool, the inverse applies. Peugeot, turning sustainable mobility into quality time. It's so bad. Next, Ram, built to serve a sustainable planet. Oh no, the fifth one with planet in. It just gets worse. Commercial vehicles get one as well. The global leader in commercial vehicles. Like that, fine. Hey, that's your podcast for today. What did you think of the Stellantis news? I want to hear from you. And I want to hear from you on question of the week as well. With emobilitynorway.com, if you had to buy one electric vehicle today, what would it be? And it was the only EV you can drive for the next 3 years. No exceptions. Tough. It's got to tick lots of boxes, right? Let me know what it is. I'll read it out on Sunday. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks ever so much to our Patreon partners, our premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of The Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK and making some cracking videos about them as well. Check out the Taycan he's got, and emobilitynorway.com. Hey, have a good one. See you tomorrow, and remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.